Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Tom Brady, after winning the Super Bowl yesterday, said this.
It's been an amazing year. Amazing year. We got to a good start, 7-2, and then had a little rough stretch where we kind of found our identity and played a lot better football down last December, January. And just really proud of all the guys, proud of all the coaches, the effort we put in. We knew we were playing a great football team tonight, and we got the job done. So you want to get this far, you got to get the job done, and we did it.
Tom Brady to Tampa Bay was the news story of the NFL preseason. Here to talk about it, Jerry Brewer, Washington Post sports columnist and friend of this show. Jerry, great column today on Tom Brady. Loved the fact that you sort of, you know, pointed out that he was the finishing touch, wasn't he?
Yes, he absolutely was. I mean, I think it was underrated when he made that decision. I think we were so focused on what was the beef between he and Belichick and Kraft. But I think it was a very shrewd move from Brady to look and say, they got all the pieces and they just need me. And he was right.
I watched that game and it was evident at halftime for me. I was like, Brady's not letting him back in this game. And, you know, I grew up a Niner fan, Jerry. It was hard for me to say this, but Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback who's ever played. Is there any doubter out there anymore?
You know, John, I'm not big into definitive greatest, but when you look at his resume and compare it to others, it's just hard not to just go ahead and say, yes, he was. Now, he's not the guy that I was most mesmerized watching. I mean, I can name three in particular that I'm just more fascinated with. And those three would be Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and now Patrick Mahomes. But when you look at his resume and what he has done, you know, in the context of team success, you can't take those seven Super Bowls away from him. And so history is always going to elevate him above all.
The legacy in New England, and certainly there's a lot of interest in what happened with Belichick and what went wrong. What do you make of sort of the arc of history when it comes to Tom Brady?
I have a hard time kind of comparing what he has done to anyone in team sports history to know that he was a part of a dynasty that lasted 20 years and six Super Bowls, and then at age 43 decided, it's time for me to do something else. That they're not really showing me the love, and I don't really love their weapons, so I'm going to go and I'm going to get with a team that is historically one of the worst franchises in the NFL, won a Super Bowl, with John Gruden finishing off Tony Dungy's work and then went right back in the pits. I mean, we forget, I think now, just how bad things have been for the Bucs since before this season. You know, in a 10-year stretch, they had two winning records. They hadn't made the playoffs since the 2007 season. And remember, they had all of these issues with MRSA and just all of this kind of shoddy training work that they had done. Nobody wanted to go and play for that franchise even 5-6 years ago, and now they're on top of the league again. And it's all because Brady gave form to all of these loose parts and interesting, intriguing players and a philosophy in Bruce Arians, his no risk it, no biscuit philosophy. It's like, no, I mean, there's some times when you need to manage the game. And Brady is very much someone that is like, it's about calculated risk. It's not about throwing deep as many times as I possibly can. And I think Bruce Arians started to adjust his philosophies and met Tom Brady in the middle. And that's why that team got really good in December on into January and now won the Super Bowl.
Washington Post sports columnist Jerry Brewer is our guest. It was interesting because in watching this one, like we've all watched Tom Brady win with the Patriots, why did this one feel more personal?
Because he was allowed to be a human being. You know, I mean, for one, like in New England, you know, everything they do is so robotic, and everything was always about the Patriots way. I think we saw through this run the Tom Brady way. He opened up a little more, at least for Brady. I mean, he sounded like a robot after the game. You would think after winning seven of these that you could express joy a little more than Tom Brady did. Maybe he could be a little more like LeBron and a little less like Nick Saban in celebrating. But it meant a lot to him. And we've seen him on social media, some of the jokes that he's made. You can just tell that there is a personality there. It was interesting, he and the Honey Badger, and how many times Tom Brady went after him in that game. And apparently some nasty things were said by Brady to him, to the point in which Brady sent Tyrann Mathieu a text message apparently last night or this morning in which he apologized for some of the things that he said. And we knew that he had that kind of competitor within him, and we knew that everything wasn't all about just the sanitized pretty boy. But some of that's come out with the Bucks, you know, being with the franchise in which it's not always about the shield. It can be about the individual.
Can the NFL, other franchises in the NFL, can they learn from this? Is there something that Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers or Tom Brady could teach teams that want to take a step forward?
You know, it's clone Brady and get one for yourself. I think a lot of those things really just kind of apply specific to the player and specific to the team. I think the biggest takeaway is just the partnership between a head coach and the quarterback. And there was a lot of give and take. You remember early in the year when Bruce Arians said some really critical things to Brady, and people were like, oh my goodness, you know, Tom Brady is going to check out on him. You can't say that to the king. And like, no, wait a minute. Like, Tom Brady can be coached, you know, even though he's old as hell in football terms, he can be coached. But then you started to learn, like, after they lost those few games in a row, after they got up 7-2, after they looked bad, you know, right around Thanksgiving, I think Bruce Arians decided, you know, I need to scale back and I need to really focus on the things that Tom does well. And he said, you know what, you drive the car, and let's do it to your specifications, and then I will be the spice. Like, you don't need to learn my offense. I just need to spice up your approach. So I think the old man Arians, like, with the way that he sees the game, helped Brady play a little more of a modern style. But it was really Brady that gave form to just this weird genius that Bruce Arians has. So it's the partnership. And I think too often we kind of took that for granted with Belichick and Brady, because it always seemed like there was this push and pull about who deserved more of the credit. You know, the greatness of the Patriots is not one or the other. It's their partnership. And it's those moments when they allowed each other to be themselves. I think it was a lot more clear between this head coach and Brady than it was between Belichick and Brady, because you didn't have the monster ego of Bill Belichick going up against the considerable ego of Tom Brady.
After the opener, Brady threw two interceptions. Jerry Brewer just talking about Bruce Arians' criticism. Here's what Arians said.
One was a miscommunication between him and Mike, and he thought Mike was going down the middle. It's a different coverage. Mike read it right, and he should have bent across his face, but Tom just overthrew it. And the other one was it was a screen pass with an outlet called, and he threw the outlet, and it was a pick six. Bad decision.
Bad decision. Brady came out like a day later. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh.
All right, so what's the question?
Yeah, just whether you were surprised at all to hear Bruce speaking publicly about the picks and being critical of you as he was.
You know, he's a coach, so, you know, I'm a player. Just trying to win a game.
I mean, there you are. It's exactly what you're talking about, Jerry.
Yeah, absolutely. You could tell. I mean, Brady was ticked that he had to answer for this. It wasn't, you know, Belichick coached him harder, probably than Bruce Arians ever did, but it was all in private. So I think he was a little, you know, not used to that, but he just wants to win, you know, and he's, he, you know, the thing that we take for granted with him is that he's a lot like, and the things that he learned from the Patriots are similar in that they are shapeshifters. You know, they do whatever the game and the situation calls for. And so that means that Brady can adjust what he does to any scheme and any situation. And early in the season, he was just trying to figure it out. And it was something new to him after being with Josh McDaniels so long. He had to get comfortable with it. And the crazy thing about it is, John, they didn't have a full off season and work. I think they can actually get better going into next year, even though he's going to be 44. Now, I don't mean that the stats are going to be better. They're going to win another Super Bowl. But I think the way that they function will actually be more comfortable for both of them next season.
We're talking to Jerry Brewer, columnist, Washington Post. I felt bad for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, and it was highly entertaining to see him run around and make plays. And you're right, he's dynamic. He's fun to watch. I mean, the fact that he was scrambling around 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage, spinning, throwing off balance, his offensive line too banged up. What happens to the Chiefs? How do they spin out of this, Jerry?
You know, it was interesting that Russell Wilson was there, you know, accepting the Walter Payton Man of the Year award because he's seen that on his worst days. Often against a Bruce Arians Arizona team, you know, interestingly enough. So he knew exactly what that looked like. It was kind of the perfect storm to get the Chiefs because their offensive line was in shambles with injuries and so on and so forth. I think that played a huge role, but you have to give Todd Bowles and that defense a tremendous amount of credit for just how they were able to shut off everything down the field and really make it so that Mahomes was going to really have to scramble around to create opportunities. You know, I think if the Chiefs had to do it all over again, I think they would have, number one, tried to run the frickin' football. Number two, really focused on some things that they had worked on all season, which is when teams won't give you the deep shots, just kill them underneath. Just really focus on getting what you can, you know, playing more of the Tom Brady game, to be honest with you. You know, if it's 5 yards, 6 yards a pass, as long as you're moving forward, that's fine. And, they had trained to win a game like this all year, but I don't think they had faced a team that was as athletic and dominant up front, you know, especially against a diminished offensive line. So you look at them, and they've had a magnificent run under Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, now they're 1-for-3. You know, they lost in the AFC Championship game to the Patriots the first year Mahomes was the starter, won the Super Bowl last year, you know, loses in the Super Bowl this year. Tyreek Hill is not getting any younger. Travis Kelce's not getting any younger. They had some injuries to Sammy Watkins all year, and you're still waiting for Hardham to really rise to the surface as the player that he can be. It's going to be interesting. They're going to be good for a good long while, but as we know, like, windows of dominance close very quickly in the NFL, very quickly in the NFL. And so I do start to wonder a little bit, are they going to kind of be like the Seahawks of 2013, 2014, you know, they lose that game dramatically at the end to the Patriots with the interception, and then the Seahawks have been good ever since then, been knocking on the door, but they've never been quite as dominant. Now, there's a little more life in the Chiefs in terms of what they do well with their offense, but I do wonder if we're going to see them go from being this team that you expect to win 13, 14 games every year, coming back to the pack a little more and it being a harder journey, especially now that there is somewhat of a playbook on some things that you can do to defend them that might stop them.
Jerry, one of my favorite Super Bowl memories, 2007, you and I are in Miami. There's a media news conference. Prince is going to show up and talk about performing at the halftime show. He eventually just plays a concert for the media in that news conference. But my favorite part of that was I remember being in the media center and you coming out of the bathroom because Prince was in the bathroom changing or something. What was going on with Prince that year?
Oh, man. Yes. Before he gave that concert press conference, he and his team came into the bathroom because he needed to change clothes, you know, for the press conference, you know, whatever, you know, silly thing he was going to wear. And I was, you know, I mean, I was in there trying to handle my business. And they were like, dude, you got to get out now. And I'm like, now? I mean, I'm 10. Like, I mean, come on, man. And they're like, no, you got to get out now. I didn't know at the time that it was Prince. And so I'm like, I get out because, you know, these big dudes are like practically pushing me out. They're like, can I even wash my hands? No. And so I'm like, what in the world is going on here? So I just kind of waited close to the bathroom. I see him coming in there, and you know, he looks like he's like 4'9", and then he comes out and he's got his platforms on, so he looks like he's like 6'7". And I was like, man, I just got kicked out of the bathroom so Prince could change his clothes. Now there's a story that I'll tell my kids one day.
Yeah, I remember you coming out of there. You had a big smile on your face. I was like, what happened? You said, I think Prince is going in there. And then the news conference, I mean, for people who are just tuning in, Prince comes in. Normally they do kind of a, you know, Aerosmith will do a Q&A or Justin Timberlake will do a Q&A and answer some questions. They say, does anybody have a question? And then Prince just pulls that guitar out, Jerry. Remember that?
Yes, because he said, you know, he said something like, contrary to what you've heard, I will be taking a few questions. And then somebody started to answer a question. As soon as they like got three words out, he wheeled the guitar around and just started playing. And it was crazy. But the thing that you also learn, as much of a musical genius as Prince is, he's not as great of a hit to a bunch of old sports writers as he would have been for everyone else. Like, it was a very awkward experience. I mean, there were some of us who were really into it because we were really into Prince. And then there were some dudes who were just kind of like, what in the world is going here? Or they were trying to, like, find the rhythm to dance along with it. And that was just a crazy memory. And I thought about that often last year, being at the Super Bowl in Miami, just what an experience that was, and just how sad it was that he's not with us anymore.
Yeah, and I remember too that day he had like these twins that were his backup singers and dancers that he brought the twins out.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, it was like some of the sports writers were talking more about them, and I was like, that's Prince. Prince just played a private concert for like 50 sports writers, and people were focused on the backup dancers.
Yes, J.A. Adande, I got to tell on him, because J.A. Adande, remember the commercial that used to go, and twins? J.A. Adande, just for the rest of the day, kept saying, and twins?
Jerry Brewer, I hope you're well, my friend. It's good to hear your voice. Terrific column for those of you who haven't seen it. Read Jerry Brewer in the Washington Post today. Stay safe, my friend.
All right, anytime, man. Take it easy.
All right, there's Jerry Brewer. And yes, I was there that day at that news conference. Prince is going to hold a news conference. I'm going to go check it out. And waiting, ran into Jerry Brewer. And he came out of that bathroom. And Jerry Brewer's got the kind of smile that lights up the room. He's just got a big grin on his face as he comes out of the bathroom. He says, I think I just got bounced because Prince is coming in there. Leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide coming up, my big splash. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast of this radio show so you don't miss anything. You can always go back and listen, pass things along. Oh, that was a really good interview with Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post. I want to share that with somebody who would really enjoy it. You can do that. If you're on an iPhone, just go into your podcast app and search for John Canzano, Baldface Truth, and then subscribe. And then they will automatically populate within your app. It's free. You should do it. And our team does a really good job of putting those podcasts together in a timely fashion appreciates when you subscribe and when you give us feedback as well. This brings us, of course, to our big splash. It's the one thing you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
I'm just going to leave this right here, but Tom Brady's got 7 Super Bowl championships. You might be debating his relative GOAT status, but I'm not anymore. Greatest of all time. Joe Montana had 4. I can't compare 4 against 7. But it's not just about rings, is it? Robert Horry, for example, in the NBA, 7 championship rings. We don't ever think of Robert Horry as being among the greats of all time. He just happened to be on winning teams and played a key role a couple of times. No. Tom Brady, though, in his legacy becomes more about the leadership, the calm he brought. Was anybody watching in the second half as they cut to Brady on the bench of the Buccaneers bench, and he's sitting there on the bench and he's kind of got his head down and he's thinking? I thought to myself, oh, you know what? The Chiefs are done. Every time they cut to that shot, they're done. He's just thinking about making plays and continuing to increase the vice-like grip that he's got on the Kansas City defense. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers had the Chiefs right where they wanted them. I'm kicking myself for not seeing it. But I used to say, and I grew up with my dad's telling me, don't ever bet against Don Shula. My children will grow up with me telling them, don't bet against Tom Brady. And that's the one thing that you need to know. Peter Sampson, Zach, it all unfolded in a way that none of us saw coming. We all had the Chiefs. What did you learn in the game?
I personally learned that Mahomes, man, he needs an offensive line. He was pressured all game long, and he still made some athletic plays, but he needs just one beat longer in the pocket.
Yeah, I learned that veterans and experience beats that talent and the speed and the flashiness. And yeah, that Chiefs offensive line, John, they were in some trouble all night long. Tampa Bay's defense was stellar. Todd Bowles dialed up a perfect game plan, and it was extremely impressive to watch.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And I thought, you know, I was watching Mike Remmers, who played left tackle in the game. We had him on the show early in the week. He had a really tough matchup with Jason Pierre-Paul. And I thought also Ndamukong Suh, who did not get a sack in the game. We had a couple of Portland kids on the field at the same time during that game, and I thought it was fun to watch Sue and Remmers, and but I felt bad for Remmers at the end of it. I think he was just in a bad position, and you know the Buccaneers, once they got ahead in this game, they knew the Chiefs were not going to run the football and just pinned ears and came after Patrick Mahomes. And even though Sue did not get a sack in the game, I felt like Sue played a lot of, was an important player. And I don't think it was the kind of game that was made for an Ndamukong Suh sack necessarily with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. But I thought he was a dominant player, got his first Super Bowl ring. So shout out to Ndamukong Suh getting a ring.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.